Lessons from the Vineyard. Jesus says, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Lord Jesus, we have learned that you are the vine, the true vine. And that as believers, as followers of you, we are but branches. But as a branch in you, your life and power is given to us by means of your Holy Spirit. Your life flows in us and through us and produces spiritual fruit. The visible evidence of your life in us, so that when people look at us, they might be able to see something of you. As they see what we do and hear what we say, and the way that we do it and the way that we say it, there, you want them to be able to see you in us. Lord, this is beyond our comprehension. But we believe it because that's what you teach us in your word. So we thank you and praise you for such a wonderful, precious gift. May we be faithful in our response to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, for your glory, for the benefit of others. May our minds and our hearts be receptive to your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The key to living is bearing fruit. We learned last week that this spiritual fruit takes many forms, all of which reveal something of the character of Christ. We learned that people in whom you've had a part in their spiritual life, whether it's them coming to know Christ or whether it's believers in their spiritual growth, if you've had a part in their spiritual life, that's fruit. Fruit is when the beauty of God's holiness is seen in our everyday lives. Fruit is sharing what God has entrusted to us with others for their benefit. Fruit is demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Fruit is serving Christ and others out of obedience to Him, energized by the Spirit. and motivated by love. Fruit is a word. A word of praise and thanksgiving. A song of praise and thanksgiving from our lips that give others a good impression of our God. Just think of it, of being able to verbalize, to say to somebody, praise the Lord for what he's done, or thank him for this. We ought to be looking for ways of doing that. I mean, they're out there all the time, but we just don't think about it. I have a friend who, when someone says to him, isn't this a beautiful day? Isn't the weather beautiful? And he says, yes. Then he says, did my father do a great job today? You see, that's no big deal, but that's giving praise and thanks to the Lord. I guarantee you, when he says that, the person remembers it too. So the key to living is bearing fruit. Is there a key to bearing fruit? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The key to bearing fruit is abiding. The key to bearing fruit is abiding, abiding in Christ. The key to being a productive branch is abiding. The indispensable condition for bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless, except, it abides in the vine, so neither can you, unless, except, you abide in me. Very clear, isn't it? The only way to be a fruitful branch is to abide in Christ. No exceptions, no modification, no exemptions. The vine is Christ. I'm the branch. The Holy Spirit is the life, the sap that runs from the vine into me. And as a branch, I live and I grow and I bear fruit. Not by struggling, not by effort, but by simply abiding. Christian, if you are trying to live out your Christian life on your own strength, on your own logic, on your own reasoning, on your own efforts, on your own discipline, on your own determination, then you will bear little, if any, fruit. And if you do bear any fruit, it's going to be of very poor quality in terms of spiritual benefit to anybody. You're simply wasting the life that God has given you. Now, I'm not talking about living a sinful lifestyle, okay? You can be a good church member of East Wenatchee First Baptist Church on your own. You can come regularly on your own. You can give generously on your own. You can be a faithful worker in Awana on your own. But if you're doing it on your own, you're simply spending your life on yourself. and little or no spiritual benefit to God or to people. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, the key to bearing fruit is abiding. Now, this raises a number of questions. What does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean to abide in Christ? How do I do it? How do I know if I'm abiding or not? And what about the branches that are not bearing fruit in verse 2? The branches that are not abiding in verse 6. What about those branches? So this morning we will focus on trying to answer the first two questions and get to the next two next Lord's Day, Lord willing. So the first question, what does it mean to abide in Christ? First, the meaning of the word, and then a definition. The word translated abide or remain, depending upon which translation you use, simply means to continue, to dwell, to remain in union. It can refer to time, it can refer to quality, it can refer to place. It can refer to time, it can refer to a quality, it can refer to a place. In John chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus is responding to Peter's question about John. What about John? Jesus said, if I want John to remain or abide, what's that to you? If I want John to remain or to abide here on earth until I come, what's that to you, Peter? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. So there in John, it has to do with time. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, but now faith, hope, love abide. These three. But the greatest of them is love. Faith, hope, love abide. These three. He's talking about a spiritual quality. But love is the greatest. The first two, faith and hope, are gonna. They're gonna be taken care of. Love keeps going on forever. But it's talking about that, the quality of faith and hope and love. But here in John chapter 15, verse 4, it's talking about a place in the vine, in Christ. Abide in me, remain in me, continue in me, dwell in me. But here's what we've got to remember. It's not talking about a passive relationship here. Abide in me is a command. It's in the imperative. It's a command. It's not something that is automatic because you're saved. It's not something that's passive like remaining in your pew or abiding in your pew. It's not like someone thinking, I know I'm saved. I know my relationship with the Lord is eternal. So therefore, I must be abiding. No. It's not automatic. It's not passive like that. Abide in me is an imperative. It's a command given to believers. It's a command given to believers. Now, it's true that when we are saved, our eternal relationship with Christ is forever, right? When we're saved, our eternal relationship with Christ is eternal. It's secure forever. It's unchanging and unchangeable. But salvation is not to be a passive relationship. It is the basis for a growing relationship. It is the basis to having a more intimate relationship with Christ. An abiding relationship. In verse 2, Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it can bear more fruit." In that verse, the Lord makes a distinction between simply being a branch, a true believer, and being a fruitful branch, an abiding branch. He talks about the branch that does not bear fruit. It's not abiding. There is a difference between union, being connected to Christ in a living relationship, and having fellowship or communion with Him. When you trusted in Christ as your Savior, you became a branch in Him. A living union was formed with Him. The Holy Spirit united you with Christ in a living relationship. You are a member of His body. That's once for all. That's eternal. But that living relationship is the basis for developing and maintaining a more intimate relationship. A moment by moment, situation by situation, fellowship with Christ, which He refers to as abiding in Him. So a definition. Abiding in Christ means that you are maintaining fellowship with Him and allowing Him to share His life with you. Abiding in Christ means that you are maintaining fellowship with Him and allowing Him to share His life with you. His life is in you. He gave it to you. You must allow Him to share it with you. You must maintain fellowship so that He can share that life with you so that you can bear fruit. Unless you are in fellowship with Him, you're not allowing Him to share His life and power with you. You're doing it on your own. So abiding has to do with cultivating an intimate personal relationship with Christ so that He can share more fully His life and power with you. In abiding, you're learning to have a greater and greater dependence upon Him. And therefore, you're experiencing more and more of His life and His power in your life. You're learning to more and more put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 into practice. You're learning to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're learning not to lean upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And letting Him direct your steps. So abiding is a continually growing process of getting to know Jesus better and better, and to love Him more and more. Remember, spiritual fruit is not simply the results of what we do. Spiritual fruit is supernatural. He has to do it in us and through us. It's beyond anything we can do, and we know it. Now, I can preach a message that's true to the Word, well organized, well delivered, and have people say to me, "Pastor, that was a great message." And maybe it did help them because God's Word is living and powerful. But if I did it myself, no fruit. If I did it myself, there is no fruit. If the Holy Spirit did it through me, there's fruit. And I know the difference. If I did it myself and people come and say, "That was a great message," I pat myself on the back. And inside I say, "You're right." If the Holy Spirit did it and people say, "That was a great message," I say, "Thank you." But inside I say, "Thank you, Lord, because I know you did it." That's fruit. We said, according to Romans 1:13, that fruit is maybe leading somebody to Christ. It's possible through our own efforts and abilities to get people to make decisions for Christ, okay? It's possible through our own efforts and abilities to get people to make decisions for Christ. We can use good motivational techniques, good salesmanship. We can manipulate, and we can move people to go through the motions of receiving Christ or to submit to Christ. We can get results. I've done it. It's not fruit. One summer, another pastor and myself was put in charge of summer camp for the teens. And we had a group from a Christian college that came, and they would do music and for us on the first day of camp, I think it was, and the leader would be the speaker for that night. And so before the evening service, the speaker came to the other pastor and myself. He said, "Now, do you guys have some counselors ready?" And we said, "Yes, we have people prepared if there are decisions." And he said, "I guarantee you there will be decisions." Okay. So he gives a good message. At the end, he asks the kids to bow their heads and close their eyes, and anyone who wanted to make a decision to raise their hand. I peeked. I looked. And he said, "I see that hand. Oh, yeah, that hand. Thank you. There, that hand." And there, folks, there was not a single hand went up. He was lying. He was manipulating young people. And pretty soon after saying that a few times, then some kids started raising their hand. That was the thing to do. They were emotionally caught up, and now they're raising their hands. Maybe some made honest decisions. I don't know. He was simply manipulating young people and getting results. On the other hand, maybe the Holy Spirit speaks to you about talking to someone about Christ. And eventually, with fear and trembling, you obey. And you really make a feeble attempt. And you walk away and you feel like, "Boy, I blew that. And that's going to be my fault if that person winds up in hell." And then you learn later, that person accepted the Lord. You know God did it. You didn't do it, right? You know God did it. You didn't do it. That's fruit. That's fruit. God has given us certain personality traits as well as different abilities and gifts, spiritual gifts. But folks, we can't depend on those things. We must depend on the Lord. We must abide in Him, maintain and cultivate a more intimate fellowship with Him so that He can share more of His life and His power with us. So how do we do that? How do we abide in Christ? Well, first of all, let me give you a biblical answer. And then let me give some suggestions, some practical suggestions at the end. In terms of a biblical answer, it's easy to get out of balance when you start talking about abiding in Christ. People tend to go to one extreme or the other. There are those who believe and teach that the believer is basically passive in this relationship. The Lord does all the work. And so maybe you've read or heard the illustration of the hand and the glove. The glove is just on the hand. It's passive. The hand is doing all the work. Now, there's truth in that, okay? We must yield to the Lord. But our relationship with Him is not to be a passive one. We're not just there. He says, abide in me. That's an imperative. We have something to do. We have a part. So then others tend to go to the other extreme, and the emphasis is upon the believer, that it's up to us to strive, to work, to discipline ourselves, to do all that the Lord wants us to do. Okay, there's truth in that. We have an active part. We have a personal responsibility. But it's not to the point where we manipulate the experience, okay? The best answer, the most balanced answer, I believe, is in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13. This answer involves both the human element and the divine element. Verse 12 is the human element. Verse 13 is the divine element. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is the human element. Paul is writing to believers. He's not telling them how to be saved. He's not suggesting that they are to work for their salvation. He knows that's impossible. He is saying, work out your own salvation. Work it out to full completion. Work out the life that God has given you and the purpose that that He has for you. Remember, back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has a perfect plan for you. That's what Paul is talking about working out here. Working out that plan that God has for you. Working it to full completion. It's His plan. It's not what somebody else wants you to do. It's not the plan that others have for you. I had a student at Western when I was the dean. He was a student body president. Sharp young man. Came to my house one day. He's all in tears. It's toward the end of his senior year. It's toward graduation. And he is just overcome with sorrow. And I asked him, what's the matter? He said, Pastor, or Dean, My pastor wants me to be a pastor. My folks want me to be a pastor. My church wants me to be a pastor. Everybody wants me to be a pastor. And here I am in my senior year of college, and I don't want to be a pastor. I don't think God wants me to be a pastor. What in the world do I do? See, he was pressured to live up to what other people wanted in his life. He was not working out God's plan. So in working out God's plan, you're going to have to deal with the corrupt environment in which we live. You're going to have to deal with personal problems. You're going to have to work out family problems. You're going to have to work with church problems. But God will enable you to work it out. So that you can fulfill your potential that he has placed in you. How does he enable you to do that? Verse 13, the divine element. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you. God works in you. Then we do. We work out. As we yield, God works in us. He gives us the will. He gives us the desire, the want to do his will. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Not the desires you want, but the desires he wants of you in your heart. You will want it. That's what you want in life. That's what you want to do. He gives you the will and the desire to do that. And as you step out in faith, God works out through you. The Holy Spirit enables and empowers you to accomplish his good pleasure. But he's doing it through you. It's not you doing it. He's doing it through you. So abiding is keeping fellowship with Christ, so that he can work in us to share his life and power with us. That will not happen. That will not happen until you're absolutely convinced of what Jesus says in verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Until you're convinced of that, you're not going to be concerned about abiding. Someone said, dependence and surrender go hand in hand. We can't fully surrender our wills until we are convinced we are in a hopeless situation. As long as we see a way out, we will generally opt for it. As long as I think I can pull it off and live an okay Christian life, as long as I think that I can get the discipline to have victory over temptation, as long as I think I have the skills and the abilities to serve the Lord, I will see no need to abide. The results? I will bear no fruit. The key to bearing fruit is abiding. Let me close with just some practical pointers. You already know them, but it's good to be reminded. There's some very practical things we need to do in order to abide. First of all, we have to determine to spend time with the Lord. We have to determine to spend time with the Lord. Not just reading the Bible, not just studying the Bible, not just having a quiet time, but spend time with the Lord in His Word. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For years as a pastor, I felt that my study time and sermon preparation was adequate. And I finally realized that's not true. I needed to spend time with the Lord in His Word. And for me, that meant I had to set a time, a specific time, and a specific place. And if you were at my home in Salem, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, I would be on the couch in the front room, looking out the front window toward the sunrise, spending time with the Lord. And everybody has to adopt themselves to their own schedules. But we have to think of it as spending time with the Lord. We're not just getting biblical information, okay? We're getting to know the Lord. Secondly, we need to spend time with Him in prayer. We need to talk with Him. We need to ask Him some things. We need to thank Him for some things. We need to tell Him we love Him. We need to listen for what He has to say. And He will say something to you from His Word. And this matter of spending time with Him in prayer means keeping in touch with Him throughout the day. Paul says we're to pray what? Continuously. That doesn't mean we're...